Mr. Sadasky, Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 1, Episode 4.
Hello, this is Wade, and welcome back. Hot on the heels of Episode 3 comes Episode 4. In this episode, we feature Atari Mailing List. Atari Mailing List was designed as an electronic card file, or Rolodex. You manage your address book or any other list you may have. It has two lists out of the box, one geared towards contact information like business cards, family members, addresses, and phone numbers, and a general list geared towards whatever you want to throw at it. It also gave you the ability to create customized lists should either of the canned ones not fit your needs.
Technical data.
Atari mailing list is part number CX4101, and it was released on cassette if you didn't figure that out from the part number. It was a commercial licensed product by Atari, and I don't know who the programmer is. It required 24K of RAM, a basic cartridge, and a 410 cassette drive. A disk drive was optional, and if you used it, you needed a minimum of 32K. The original price was $19.99, but by 1985 it was down to $4.99. Today's price at the original listing would equate to $53.87. This was originally released on June of 1981. Atari Mania has it listed as a rarity of 7. And the manual is huge at 11 pages.
Usage notes.
Okay, this program shipped on one cassette, and it was on both sides. On the first side, you had the main program, which was mailing list, and it ran from tape counter 0 to tape counter 135. This program was the one that was originally intended for your business contacts or your family members, club memberships, that type of thing. If you flip the tape over and load the programs there, the first program on the tape runs from 0 to 136 on the tape counter, and that's your general mailing list. And it is supported of any other kind of data like recipes or inventories or whatever you want to stick in there. The second program on side 2 was the list customizer, and that ran from tape counter 136 to tape counter 208. Now this program, which we'll get into in a bit, just let you modify the number of fields and what field names were going to be there and how big the contents were supposed to be. And it created a list that you actually merged in with the main program and then resaved, which would give you a customized version of the mailing list to tailor to your needs. All right, so there are a couple of limitations here. First, the record count is limited to the number of records based on size that will fit into available memory. It does not read and write from disk or cassette as you move through records. So every entry has to fit in memory. Now, it's designed to work off of the cassette, and your data would be saved and loaded from a separate cassette. However, you can convert it to work off of disk. The manual even tells you how to do it. And once you do that, you'll be able to work with it just like you would with any other data file. Now, having said that, if you do convert it to work off a disk, you sacrifice some of your memory because DOS is going to be resident. All right, to start the program, you have to put the cassette in all the way rewound, make sure BASIC is inserted and it's turned on. Type in CLOAD, press return, the computer will beep, press play on the recorder, hit return again, and it will load. Once it's loaded, you type in run, and then it will force load the rest of the program in. If you've converted it to disk, then you would still boot it with BASIC installed, and at the prompt, you would type run, D colon, and then the name of however you saved it. And before I talk about the functions, I'm going to talk about the disk conversion. First, you boot with DOS disk and BASIC loaded. You do the normal C load, but you don't run it. You have to remove lines 2005 in lines 8015. These each set the device name to C colon and call a routine at line 9720. If you look at the routine at 9720, it just prints a message on the screen about preparing the tape, and then it gets a keystroke and then it returns. After that, you save the program to disk using a name that you want. Note that the DOS you select is crucial to the amount of records you can store. I found SpartaDOS leaves the most bytes available to BASIC when using a standard 800XL. Okay, so why is the memory important? Well, if you boot at 800XL from cassette or without a cassette, with BASIC loaded and no diskette or no DOS, you have 37,902 bytes available. If you take that same 800 and boot with BASIC, but from SpartaDOS, you'll have 33,644 bytes available, roughly a 4K difference. So the program size for Atari mailing list is 15,963 bytes. You take that from the top of the free memory, 37,902 or 33,644, and in the case of booting from cassette, you end up with 21,939 bytes, and with SpartaDOS, you end up with 17,733 bytes. Now, this is the memory that your records get stored in. So that 4K, if you had 200 byte records, that represents about 20 records that you could have stored. Okay, so let's talk about the main menu. Once the program gets up and running, at the top of the screen, it'll show you how many records are in your data set. Then you have your menu below that. You have load, save, add, edit, delete, print, display, and sort. Those are all the different options, not necessarily in that order. Now, when working with the program, some of these operations result in different screen colors, as well as a label in the top left corner of the screen. For example, the menu is maroon, and when you go into add or edit, you get the standard Atari blue. But if you go into delete, you get a purple screen. And if you go into print, it's a similar maroon, but has a brighter border color than the menu does. All right, let's talk for a minute about record navigation. Print, display, edit, and delete allow for navigating all records or some records. Now, the some records gives you the ability to apply up to 4 conditionals to select records to display. Now, when you select these conditionals, it's going to ask you which field, the value you want to compare to, which is case sensitive, and what the conditional is, which is going to be either equal, not equal, greater than, or less than. After applying the first conditional, you have the ability to add up to 3 more, and you do this by pressing Option. Once you've applied all the conditionals that you want, you press Select to start the filtering. At any time, you can press Start to go back to the main menu. For either mode of either some records or all records, once the display set is being shown, you press the Option key to change the direction of navigation, either forwards or backwards, and you press the Select key to move one record at a time in that direction. You press Start at any time to go back to the main menu. Now, if you were doing Delete, you would press D while you're viewing the record that you want to delete, and then you'll be asked if you're sure you want to delete it. If you do delete it, it disappears and moves to the next record. Now, a quick word about sort. Sort only allows you to sort on one field. You pick it, it sorts it. It shows you an approximate amount of time, which is just that, an approximate amount, and it's kind of slow. Add, edit, and delete. When you add a record, you enter in each of the field's information, and when you get to the end, it'll give you a confirmation that the record was added. At that point, you press Select to add another one, or press Start to go back to the menu. Pretty easy. Edit works in a similar fashion to delete and print, in which you can select all records or you can select some records. So after you've decided which one you're going to do, you'll be presented with the first record in the data set. At that point, you can either edit it or go to the next record and edit that one and go to the next record and edit that one. If you were deleting, you would press D to delete those, like I've already discussed. That's about it for the editing functions. This program is basically useless unless you can save and load your data, because nobody's going to want to type it in every time they want to print it out. So with that, let's talk about save and load. If you're using the cassette version, each time you do a save or a load, you'll be presented with a prompt on the screen to prepare the tape. Now, if you're using cassette, you'll want to use your own tape for your data, and you'll also need to keep an index of which file is stored where on that tape. If you've converted to the disk, then all you need to do is enter in the file name and what disk drive it's on. To make the data useful, you need to be able to either look at it or print it out, and that's where we're at now. So choosing print from the menu gives you two options. You can display it to the screen, or you can choose to send it to the printer. If you choose to display it to the screen, it'll present it in a format similar to editing records, where you look at one record at a time and you press Select to move between those records and Option to change the direction. If you send it to the printer, you can get a nice multi-line formatted printout. That pretty much covers the functions available from Atari mailing list. Now let's talk about the meat and potatoes of customizing lists. Customizing lists is a five-step process in its simplest form. The customizer modifies 6 lines of the source code and saves it via list off to disk or cassette. It's noteworthy to mention here that it's just those 6 lines of code that are being modified that are saved. So every time you load the Atari mailing list, you'll need to enter those same lines of code before you run the program to get your customizations. Unless, of course, you save it back to your own source. The first step in customizing your list is to define a name. Then it's going to ask you how many fields per record and how many lines of output per record. You can have at most 10 fields per record and at most 25 lines of output per record. Seems kind of high on the output side, but whatever. The second step is to define each field name and each data size. Field names can be no longer than 6 characters. If you like things neat on the input side, keep the field data sizes no longer than 31 characters, although you can have up to 107. If you set it to 32 or greater, it'll wrap around the screen in an ugly manner. You want to keep these fields as short as possible to maximize the number of records that can be stored, since they must all fit in memory at the same time. The next step is to define the output format for each line. The manual makes this sound harder than it actually is. You don't have to create the format strings that it talks about. It creates them via questions. You get the option to embed literal text, and you can specify fields on a per-line basis. For fields, you can also choose to suppress trailing spaces or leave them in. Leaving them in may let you create nice columnar formatted data. Now, the formats that they talk about are a line number. You can have F and then a field number, and then a capital S to suppress, or a capital N to not suppress, and that's the indicator. You would embed a T with the literal text that you want to follow to embed literal text. Once you've defined each line of output, the next step is to save it. It will show you the program lines that it's modified on the screen and ask you if you want to save. If you're using the cassette, you'll enter NC colon and then do the save. If you're using disk, you'll enter D colon and the name of your choosing. Now for disk, don't use the name that you ultimately want it to be called, because you still need to merge this little code snippet into the program, and then you'll resave it as what you want it to be called. Now this last step is optional, but if you don't do it, you'll end up creating a lot of work for yourself each time you want to use your customized list. Load the mailing list program like normal, but don't run it. Now use the enter command to merge the program modification lines saved in the last step. Now you can save the program again to either cassette or to disk. When you save it to disk, use the name that you ultimately want to call it. And of course, you're probably going to use a .bas extension for BASIC. And you can do a save instead of a list to speed up load time in the future. Now from now on, you can simply load your customized program directly without having to modify the source.
Summary.
I couldn't find a lot to like about Atari mailing lists. It has limited customization, restricted field label lengths, and the number of fields, and the customization is just plain awkward. To start, a general complaint I have across many programs, and the Atari in general, is that the left column is left at the standard column 2. I don't know why Atari chose column 2. I'm sure there's a valid reason for it somewhere, and I don't know why any program would opt to keep it at column 2. There's 2 whole characters of wasted space, and when you only have 40, 2 is a lot. That's just a pet peeve of mine, and I'm going to move forward from it. So overall, this program is pretty slow, and not just a little bit. I don't like waiting for screens to draw, but this was written in BASIC, so I guess you get what you pay for. I didn't understand what all the screen color changing was about either, other than a visual cue to what mode you might be in. But it was inconsistent. Add and edit had no differentiation other than a label up in the top of the screen. And delete, I would expect to have been red. I don't know why they chose purple. Maybe they used purple because the menu was maroon. So why was the menu maroon? And why was print the same color as the maroon menu? Who knows? The biggest complaint I have about Atari mailing list is that you have to choose a mode for your editing. I would much rather have it dumped you into a navigational list where you would move left and right through your records and choose A to add a new one, or choose E to edit one, or choose D to delete one, like they're already doing with delete anyway. If I step back into my Wayback Machine to 1981 when this was released, would I use it? Well, if I spent a lot of money on the system, and I didn't play games with it, and I wanted to make the most of the investment, I would probably force myself to, just to be able to say, hey, I have my list computerized. At the time this was released, there were three others on the market: Mail List by Magic Lantern, Mailing List Manager by Muttontown Software, and Mail List 2.2 by Dynacomp Incorporated. I'm having a hard time tracking these down, so I can't really compare them yet. Like I said in the pilot, I used a word processor to manage data, so again, I don't have a good reference to other mailing lists. I can only imagine those that followed were better. From a retro computing perspective, this one's a great big pass. I really don't see any reason to look at it at all. The same thing can be done better with other programs that are not just mailing lists. Such programs are DataPerfect and SendFile, just to name a couple. This is really only useful for historical recollection. I give this a bit rating of 2, and that's a generous rating at that. I keep forgetting to mention this. You should go out to the Inverse Itasky website and look at the screenshots from the program. I do this for all of the episodes, and there's also cover art out there, as well as all the show notes, and some usage instructions, and some other bits of information that you might find useful.
Fun facts.
First, as discussed earlier, the user must modify code to work with diskette. Since you can still load from cassette later by using C: as the drive, Atari could have squeezed out a few more bytes by eliminating these lines themselves. Second, the break key is not trapped. Go to 100 in order to recover. If you look at the source code, 100 is the menu input routine. And third, the use of the word embed, past or present, throughout the program and manual used the form imbed instead of embed. I thought this was spelled wrong, but looking it up, they mean the same thing. The imbed form is an alternate and seldom used form anymore.
Listener feedback.
The only listener feedback I have this time is from Nermix via Atari Age, and it's unfortunately one episode too late. He says, hey Wade, nice work. I listened today. This is great, another Atari 8-bit podcast. My favorite 8-bit computer is getting a lot of love these days. Well deserved, I would add. My word processor of choice back then was TextWizard. That got me through the end of high school and took me right into college. I still have all my hardware and software, as well as all the basic programs, games, and useless little demos I made. Looking forward to more episodes, and welcome to podcasting. Thank you, Nermix, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I didn't get this in through the last episode. Somehow I missed it, and again, my apologies. And I will be covering TextWizard sometime soon. I'm not exactly sure when yet, but it will be covered. Thank you.
Special thanks.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening and for your continued support. And I'd especially like to thank all those that have given feedback on Facebook or on iTunes. So thank you. And if you haven't already done so, please do give me some feedback. Whether it's good or bad, it's all appreciated. And if you really like it, go out to iTunes and give me a positive rating as well.
Contact information.
The show notes can be found on inverseitasky.info. It can be found on iTunes using the search term Itasky or Atari. It can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/inverseitasky. And you can also follow on Twitter with @inverseitasky. To leave comments or suggestions, you can email wade@inverseitasky.info or inverseitasky@icloud.com. As always, thanks for listening and stay tuned for the next episode. Hey, one take. It also gave you the ability to create customized lists, which should either be... I found that Sparta DOS to...
Goodbye.